Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2, and we will read together verses 1 through 11. This particular reading is an account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. There are two scriptural accounts of the promise which God made concerning the birth of Christ recorded in the New Testament. These accounts are found in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. We are told in those accounts that Jesus would be born in the city of Bethlehem. He would be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in a virgin named Mary. She would give birth to this child. He would come to sit upon the throne of David. He would reign over the house of Israel forever. He would be the king of an everlasting kingdom. Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, had predicted that God would establish a kingdom that would not be destroyed. David had promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that his throne would be enduring. And so Christ would come to sit upon the throne of David, and he would reign over his kingdom, the church. The account of the birth of Jesus is recorded in the second chapter of Luke. And these verses say unto us as we read together, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There has never been a birth that is comparable to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has never been such an announcement of a birth that is comparable to the announcement which was made concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherds are watching over their flock in the field. They see a star in the heavens, and an angel appears unto them and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What I want to speak to you about is good news, good tidings from Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had come to Bethlehem. She had been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit with child. The time for that child to be delivered has now come. God's grand promises that he had made throughout the pages of the Old Testament concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of salvation into the world, was now about to be fulfilled. Here we have this grand news, this grand announcement that has been made by this angelic host that a Savior has been born. Jesus came into the world to save. The reason that Jesus Christ was born into the world was to save. The Son of God had come to earth to save. The deity of heaven had come to earth to save. Jesus Christ left the heavenly abode, came and lived upon the footstool of God to save. In verse 11 of Luke 2, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus would become Christ, the Anointed One of God. He would become Lord to those who would accept Him and acknowledge Him as their Savior. Jesus had come into the world, as the angel said, to save. The plan of God for Jesus to come into the world was to save. The purpose that God had outlined even before the foundation of the world was laid was for the coming of Jesus into the world to save. The grand announcement of heaven made in Bethlehem so long, long ago was that a Savior had been born. Jesus Christ is Savior. He came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save every son and daughter born of woman. Jesus came to save all of creation. Jesus desires, God desires and longs that every individual soul who lives upon the footstool of God would be saved by Jesus Christ. This infant that was born in Bethlehem, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, was a Savior. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus is engaged in a conversation with a Jewish man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night. When you read the third chapter of the Gospel of John, you find that Nicodemus confessed that because of the works that Jesus performed, he had come from heaven. We know that no man can do the works that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus was intrigued by the miracles that Jesus performed, as well he should be. And therefore he knew that Jesus was not simply an ordinary person, an ordinary man, a commonplace individual, but rather that he had come from heaven, he had come from God. And as that conversation continues through the third chapter of John, in verse 17, Jesus said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus tells Nicodemus, "I've not come to condemn the world. I've not come to judge the world. It is not time for the condemnation of God. The mercy of God has been expressed through me. The grace of God has been made manifest through me. I have not come to condemn, but rather I have come to save." Jesus impresses upon the mind of this Jewish individual that he had come to save the world. He had come to save Nicodemus. He had come to save any and all who would believe upon him. Later, recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is engaged in conversation with individuals, and he said, "If any man hear my words," his words need to be heard. You and I need to listen to the words of Jesus. You must hear Jesus speak, and I must hear Jesus speak. Every heart must hear Jesus speak. "If any man hear my words and believe not, even though the words are spoken, there are those who will not believe them. I judge him not." If an individual does not believe what I have said, even though they are the truth of God, even though they are the gospel of your salvation, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save. Jesus came into the world to save. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to save. The good news from Bethlehem is that a Savior has been born. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus encounters a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Jesus is engaged in preaching, and Zacchaeus has come to hear him. Not only does Zacchaeus want to hear Jesus, but he wants to see Jesus. And this particular chapter of inspiration tells us that a great multitude of people had assembled to hear Jesus, and Nicodemus could not see him. Rather than going home, he climbed into a tree. His faith would not deter him from the purpose for which he had come. He came to see and to hear Jesus. And despite the great multitude, Nicodemus still intended to do what he had come to do. You and I in our faith must keep our course. We must continue to do what God intends for us to do. Obstacles may get in our way. There may be pitfalls. There will be temptations, and there will be persecutions, and trials will come. And the devil will try every conceivable scheme that he has in his great arsenal to prevent us from seeing and hearing and obeying Jesus. But we must continue in our course. And so Nicodemus climbs into a tree so that he can hear Jesus. And when Jesus has finished speaking and the crowd is dispersing, Jesus sees Nicodemus in the tree and he says, "Come down. Today I'm going to your house." You and I need to let Jesus come to our house. We need to let him come to our heart. We need to receive him into our life. And Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, and the multitude said, "Why, he's gone home to be with a man that is a sinner." They label Nicodemus as a sinner. In the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus was speaking to a multitude of individuals, and they said, and some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they did not like Jesus. They did not appreciate Jesus. Many people today do not appreciate Jesus. They may seek at this particular time of the year to honor him and to sing carols to him and even go to some particular worship service in his name. But they do not honor Jesus the rest of the year. Jesus must be honored all of the time, every hour of every day. And they said, "Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners?" Why does he receive publicans and sinners? Because Jesus came to save. Jesus receives publicans and sinners because he came to save. Not to judge, not to condemn, but to save. But keep in mind and be fully aware that Jesus will come to condemn and he will come to judge. Those who do not believe the words that he has spoken, which are the words that are capable of saving the soul, will one day judge us. John 12:48, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." And so this multitude said that Jesus had gone home with a man that is a sinner. But sinners were the people that Jesus came to save. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:38. And so in the conversation with Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to save the lost. Being lost is a terrible tragedy. There is not a reason in this present world that an individual should be lost. For the gospel is being preached. Bible should be read. Sermons should be heard. Faith should be created in the human heart, and every soul should have the opportunity to know Christ and to obtain the salvation that he offers. In 1 Timothy 1:15, the Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Jesus came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul understood well the salvation of sinners. For he declares to this young preacher Timothy in this particular passage of Scripture, chapter 1, verse 15 of the first epistle, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the lot. And Jesus saved me. He manifested his grace and mercy unto me. I received the salvation that he offered. I understand. I proclaim. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came to save. He came to save because of sin. Sin had made salvation necessary. The world was in sin. The world is in sin today. Every individual must be aware of sin. Sin is not simply a flaw in character. It is not simply a mistake of human conduct. Sin is not simply an error in judgment. Sin is a direct violation of the will of God. Sin is rebellion to the authority of God. And because there was the presence of sin in the world, Jesus Christ came into the world to save. In Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul goes all the way back in this Roman letter to the beginning of the creation. He goes back to Adam. You remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. The devil in the form of the serpent entered into that garden. Adam and Eve had been told not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the devil said, you can eat. You don't have to listen to God. That's what sin is. It's a refusal to listen to God. It is a commitment of the human will. We have the desire to do or to act, to say, to think. And so we do, and we rebel against God having said, thou shalt not. And so Eve partook of the fruit she gave to Adam. And they ate. And sin entered into the world because they had rebelled against God. Sin is the rebellion of the will, the authority, and the purpose and the nature of God. And sin made salvation possible, and salvation is necessary today because of sin. And by one man, sin entered into the world. And sin has become the calamity and the tragedy and the commitment of every human soul. In John 1, in verse 29, John the wilderness preacher is preaching to a great multitude of people. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, God required a lamb to be offered as a sacrifice for sin and as an atonement for sin. Now that sacrifice would not save them, but the blood of Christ would when Christ came and offered himself. And so now John says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sin of the world. He removes the sin of the world. Jesus Christ has the power to remove your sin and my sin from the human heart and the human soul. This is why it is so vital that we accept Him as Savior, acknowledge Him as Lord, and obey His will, and become acquainted and committed to His person. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 24, Peter writes, who His own self, speaking of Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Jesus took our sins in His body on the tree when He died on Calvary. They nailed Him to Calvary. They suspended Him on the tree between heaven and earth, where He died an excruciating, painful, humiliating, death so that he might take away sin, and he bore the sin of the world. He took my sin and your sin to the cross. What love, what mercy, what grace has been manifested that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The stripes that Jesus bore, the death that he endured, the sacrifice that he made, heals us from sin. Jesus came to save because of sin. The good news from Bethlehem on that long ago night, announced to the shepherds in the field and now announced to all of the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus Christ came to save. And those who preached him proclaimed him to be Savior. After Jesus had died and rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, there were those individuals to whom Jesus had given his charge that went forth and preached. And their proclamation was, Jesus is Savior. What we preach today is, Jesus is Savior. What the world must hear is, Jesus is Savior. What your ear must hear and what your heart must believe is, Jesus is Savior. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, Him hath God exalted. God has exalted Jesus. How did He exalt Him? Jesus was humiliated in His death. He was humiliated in His coming to earth as a servant in the form of flesh and blood, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. But He was exalted in His resurrection. He was exalted in His ascension. He was exalted as He was seated on the right hand of God, on the throne of David, as He reigns and rules over His kingdom today, the church. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the Savior because He forgives sin. God, through Christ, forgives sin. Ephesians 5, 32. God has accepted the blood that Jesus offered, the death that Jesus endured on the cross, for the cleansing, the forgiveness of sin. And so they preach Jesus as Savior. He's no longer the infant in the cradle in the stable of Bethlehem. Now He is proclaimed as Savior to all the world through His death, His resurrection, and His ascension into heaven. And God has exalted Him and appointed Him to be Savior. The purpose that God gave to Jesus Christ was, you will be Savior. And Jesus accepted that responsibility. He accepted that commission that God gave unto Him. We must be as obedient to God as Jesus was obedient to God, so that we might be pleasing in His sight and acceptable unto Him. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Jesus came to save all men, but all men will not be saved because they will not believe. Jesus spoke about believing His words in John 12, 47, as we noticed. Not everyone will believe today. We must believe on Jesus. We must believe in Jesus so that He will save us. But Paul said He is the Savior of all men. He desires to save everyone. The mighty, the weak, the known, the unknown, the learned, the unlearned, the rich, the poor. Jesus came to save everyone. Paul later writes to Timothy again in 2 Timothy 2:10 and says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Do you see what salvation will bring unto you? Eternal glory. Never has anything been more valuable than salvation. Salvation will forgive our sin, cleanse our soul, and will bring unto us eternal glory. And Jesus Christ offers that salvation to all and to any who will obtain it through faith and obedience unto His will. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus Christ is able to save everyone. I have had people tell me that they can't be saved, but they can because of the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His cleansing blood. There is no soul that Christ cannot save. There is no sin that Christ cannot forgive. There is no sinner that Christ will not receive. He is able to save completely anyone and everyone and all who will come unto Him through faith and obedience to His gospel. The good news from Bethlehem is that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and He was recognized as Savior. There were those who accepted Him as Savior. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes into the city of Samaria, and because of the conversation that Jesus had with a woman and her testimony concerning Christ, this city comes out to hear Him. And later they're talking with this woman who had presented Christ unto them. And they said in John 4 and verse 42, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We have heard Him ourselves. You don't need to be saved because of what someone else says. You need to hear Him yourself. And He has the power to save you. From hearing Christ, they knew that He was the Savior of the world. That's His identity. That was God's intent for the child that was born in Bethlehem, to become the Savior of the world. No other child ever that has ever been born has the capability of saving except Jesus Christ. And He has the power and He has the will to save any and all. In 1 John 4 and verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." John says, "We have seen and testify." He's speaking of that group of individuals who accepted Christ and the mission that He gave unto them. They had followed Him. They had lived with Him. They had eaten with Him. They had traveled with Him. And they had seen. And now they testify. They give witness that the Father, God Almighty, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There has never been a birth like the birth recorded in Luke chapter 2 in the city of Bethlehem. There has never been such news that has gone forth from any place like the news that has gone forth from Bethlehem. Jesus Christ has come, has lived, has died, has risen, has ascended to become the Savior of the world. Will you not receive Him as Savior this day? Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.